These are some instructions that are being given by the great apostle Peter to the church of his day that was in tremendous persecution. And they were expectantly, even in that early first century church, looking for the soon return of Jesus Christ. And that's what stamps these words we're about to read with such importance, because I believe they have great pertinence to where we are in God's prophetic time right now. He's soon to return. So, 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning at verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of ye be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the subject of casting your care. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus, and we're thankful for the presence of the Holy Spirit we've been made to feel. Lord, we ask as we approach your word today that you would help us to preach it in power and in truth, and that, Lord, everything that's said would bring glory and honor to you, Lord Jesus. As always, Lord, I acknowledge that I am nothing. I can do nothing. But, Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would anoint us today and move mightily in us. Then much will be done, for the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ will be glorified. And, Lord, we will give you all praise, honor, and glory for whatever you decide to do this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Near the end of 1920, the great architect Frank Lloyd Wright, who I understand has some houses that he was the architect for here in Springfield. He was summoned by Japan to build what was going to be the largest hotel in the world of that day. But there was a problem in building this great high-rise hotel that would come to be known as the Imperial Hotel. When Frank Lloyd Wright arrived in Japan to survey the foundation, him being a brilliant architect and knowing that the foundation of any structure is everything to the stability of that edifice, he surveyed the ground in Japan, and they wanted him to build it to where an earthquake would not cause it to fall, as the frequent earthquakes in Japan, they occurred frequently. And he looked at the ground that they wanted this hotel built on, and shockingly, he found that there was only 8 feet of solid ground before you run into approximately another 20 feet of mud due to the island nature of the topography of Japan. Undaunted, most men would have given up and said there's no way this can be done. He sat down and developed techniques that are used today in cities like San Francisco to prevent earthquakes from destroying a building. He came up with the ingenious system of using hydraulic poles upon which to set the platform so that that would allow the building to move if an earthquake hit and it would not fall. He designed the water pipes and the utility pipes in the building to be flexible and be bendable. He was the one who first developed this type of technology. And sure enough, in about late 1921, the hotel was completed. And in 1923, Japan had one of the worst earthquakes on record. And they called him, anticipating that no building had withstood the force of this earthquake. But when the newspaper called him and they wanted to report that the building had not held during this massive earthquake, Frank Lloyd Wright confidently replied, "You can print it if you want to, but you're going to have to retract your story because I know how I built that building." He had a tremendous confidence in the foundation of what he had designed and ultimately erected. And sure enough, the building held. The water from the pipes in that building were used to put out fires in the surrounding buildings that had been devastated by this earthquake. And not one room of that building, that Imperial Hotel, was harmed. Your foundation is everything. Those of you who build, Dennis knows that. Your foundation is everything. So it is true in the spiritual realm. What you build your life upon will either tumble or fall. And there's only one thing that stood the test of time. Because spiritual earthquakes are going to hit everybody's life. It's not a question of if they're going to occur, just when. But if your life is established spiritually on the foundation of the rock, Christ Jesus, hallelujah, there's no movement when the earthquakes come. There may be some devastation all around you, but you'll still be standing because your foundation, your spiritual foundation, is the rock, Christ Jesus. If your faith is anchored exclusively in Him, no matter what this life may bring, no matter how tumultuous, no matter how heartbreaking, if your life is predicated upon the rock and your faith is in Jesus Christ, you're going to still be standing when the smoke settles and the dust clears. And the Holy Spirit will be emanating from you to help other people who are in similar situations. That's the glory of having our lives built upon Jesus Christ. There is a confidence that the believer can and should have when his faith rests exclusively in Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. Because that faith lets us know that our Savior has never failed. That when He walked out of the tomb, God had totally approved of His sacrifice on the cross and had accounted Him victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and every circumstance that you and I are ever going to face. That should give us a confidence to know that when these troublesome times come, and we're living in them right now, that though the world may be shaking, and this Bible says that in the last day, God will shake the very heavens. We're seeing that go on right now. I yet broach the subject one more time. Jesus Christ is getting ready to come back to planet Earth. The world is being prepared for the greatest moment in history, the great revelation of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who's returning in great power and great glory, not as a babe in a manger, not as a humble Savior on the cross, but as the high general of the armies of heaven and as the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who will establish His rule on the throne of David in Jerusalem and will rule this planet as it should be ruled. That's about to happen. That should give us a confidence to know that no matter what shaking we have to endure with our faith in Christ, we're going to stand. Whilst the believer will yet stand. As we begin reading the text this morning, the great apostle in verse 5 says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." That's quite a powerful scripture. When it says ye younger in the text, it's literally referring to having the mind of little children and submitting to the elders who rule well over you. Now, what's an elder who rules well? An elder who's humble. It's talking about a pastor. And what do you mean? What type of humility are you looking for? Not some pseudo-false humility. I'm talking about that pastor being submitted to the lordship of Christ and him depending on Christ. Don't ever submit yourself to no one. They really have no spiritual authority if they're not submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. If their life is not based upon Him and what He did at the cross, and their ministry is not emanating from a heart that says, "Jesus, You're everything and I can do nothing without You," you better not submit to that person. The arrogance that permeates the pulpit today is sickening. I've showed you videos of it in recent weeks. as these so-called well-renowned ministers of the gospel. They're not interested in Jesus Christ and exalting him. They're interested in exalting their special knowledge, their brilliance, their ministry. Never submit yourselves to someone like that. Why? Because they are not humble. And we just read the scripture. The Bible says that God giveth grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. God Almighty is actually fighting against a minister who is not submitted humbly to the lordship of Jesus Christ. You'd better run from somebody like that. But the Bible says he gives grace to the humble. My Lord, that's wonderful. I know one thing, I need his grace. His grace is the power of the Holy Spirit flowing into my life. His grace is the constant witness of the Holy Spirit telling me that Jesus is my Lord and I can be confident in him, that he has stood the test of time and has proven himself superior to all demonic forces, to all earthly kings and rulers. Jesus Christ is above all the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. That's a confidence that every believer should have, but particularly ministers who are submitted to his lordship. Nobody's going to do anybody any good if they're not submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And this scripture is saying that, and to the congregations, make sure that who you place yourself under spiritually is submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Because if they are not, God is against that individual. And who do you think is going to win that battle? That's a scary thought that all of us who minister the word should bear in mind, is that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And what is the proud again? Anybody who does not recognize the lordship of Christ in their life and is not humbly depending upon him for the very next word they preach. It is that deep, and I've learned that. I've learned I can study all week long and try to hear from God, and that's good. We should do that. But I've learned that it's not in my intellect, it's not in my oratory, it's not even in my biblical knowledge. It's in the mighty anointing of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And I am totally dependent upon him. Every time I stand behind the pulpit, I tremble at the thought of delivering this word. Because I know I am going to give an account for this church. That's something that nobody else will give an account for what went on in this church. I'm talking about every facet of it. It will be me. When I walk in before the throne of Almighty God at the judgment seat of Christ, and it will be, what did you do to those people? Where did you lead those people? And that's why I strive continually to do one thing, to let you know that there is no help in me. All help is in Jesus Christ. I know if I lead you to the foot of the cross, you'll always have the help you need, and that when the shaking time comes, you're going to be fat. Your spiritual foundation is going to be on a rock that'll see you through. That one day the tears will stop. That one day he'll restore all. That one day he'll bring you to a place of pasture and solitude in him that will give you a confidence, hallelujah, that you'll know you can trust him with anything. That leads us on to the next verse. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Pride has so infected the modern day church, and all false doctrine has its root in pride, all of it. Because pride is man holding up what he can do. There's no humility in anything outside of leading people to Christ for help. It's pride. It's pride, and God is fighting against that. It's an awesome thought. But if we humble ourselves under his mighty hand, the Bible says we can have a confidence that he'll exalt us in due time. That means there's coming a day when the world who looks upon those of us who have our faith in Jesus Christ as maybe just a bunch of stupid hicks out of the sticks. That's how the world looks at any true believer in Jesus Christ. Sadly, that's how most of the church looks at any true believer in Jesus Christ. Trusting him exclusively and fully in humility. The Bible says that he will exalt those in due time. I want to announce to you this morning that soon and very soon there's coming a day when these old mortal piles of flesh, these mortal coils, are going to be supernaturally and powerfully transformed into a body that'll never grow old and never wear out and never suffer any more pain, a body that's going to dwell with the Lord Jesus Christ forever. Hallelujah. That's the exaltation that's coming. And it really matters little what goes on in this world. If your faith is on the foundation of Christ and Him crucified, you are walking and living in humility before a holy God. And there is soon coming a day when He is going to exalt all of us in Him. Hallelujah. Going on. Verse 7. And here's the crux of what I felt the Holy Spirit wanted me to deal with today. Casting all your care upon Him. For He careth for you. Now, what does that mean? Casting all your care. The word in Greek there for care literally means the concerns and trials of this life. Cast it upon Him. What does that mean? Literally. How do you do that? You know, I've had people before in churches and seen it done before where preachers will call people down and say, they'll say, no, put your hand on your stomach. And just literally envision pulling out your care, whatever's troubling you, wad it up, and throw it on Him. And don't ever think about it no more. That's utter ridiculousness, is what that is. That's utter ridiculousness. No, casting your care on Him, it means knowing that my Savior has never failed. My Savior has never let me down. And I don't have to understand the hurt and the pain and the indecision that's going on in my life right now, I just have to know His character. Hallelujah. I just have to know His character. And I can trust Him with everything that's going on in my life. Even those things I don't understand, even those things that challenge me, even the things I have questions over that I'm wondering, Lord, why am I having to go through this difficulty right now? He's not promised to give us all the answers to that. But He said, cast your care on Him. That means to confidently know that everything He's doing in my life and your life is ultimately good. Romans 8:28, one of my favorite scriptures. And we know. That word in Greek means confidence, basically. We have this confidence. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Now, I used to worry before I understood the cross about, am I called according to His purpose? Well, let me put your fears at rest this morning. If your faith is anchored in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you're the called according to His purpose. Hallelujah. And that means everything that's going on in your life, what you perceive to be good or bad, your God is in control of it. You can know and commit your concern to Him, knowing that He is going to care for you, that everything He's doing in our life from His perspective is right. The shaking, the trouble, the heartbreak, the decisions that need to be made, they're anchored in Him. And He will lead and guide us, and that is a confidence we can have even on the darkest of days. Even when everything around us is being shaken, we stand firm on the rock of Christ and Him crucified. And the confidence we can have is knowing that He will care for us. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says, cast it on Him, for you know He careth for you. And if the believer does not live confidently in that word, do you know what can happen? The Bible tells us in Luke 21:34. And all of this is pertaining to last days living, everything we're studying now. Luke 21:34. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye be accounted worthy to escape. No, I'm jumping ahead there. Excuse me. It says, take heed, lest at any time your hearts become overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you unaware. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye be accounted worthy to escape these things and to stand before the Son of Man. Did you catch that? And in verse 34, surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. It's sad that so many people, so much of the church has its faith in something other than the rock of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. Because when they're shaken, they have nothing to turn to. There's nothing there. If it's not exclusively Jesus Christ and him crucified, there is no firm foundation. There's nothing to stand on that will withstand the shaking trial. And what happens if that person lives that way long enough and doesn't get their faith in Jesus Christ? They'll lose what little faith they have because the cares of this life will overcome them because they have no foundation. Their foundation will fail them so much they will lose confidence in God and just say, well, living for Jesus doesn't work. I want to tell you, living for Jesus won't work if your faith's not in him. If you've got it in a preacher, a ministry, a program, whatever you want to name, it's going to be shaken. Your spiritual foundation, rest assured, it's going to be shaken. I want to be one who's able to be like Frank Lloyd Wright was. When they call, say, no, things all around may be shaken, but this old building's going to stand because I know the foundation it's on. Hallelujah. I have a confidence to know that the God I serve has never failed me, nor will he ever. Hallelujah. And that's why we can cast our cares upon him. That's what that scripture means, is to live for God knowing that everything he is allowing and everything he's doing in our lives, he's in control of it. And he's ultimately going to cause it to work together. Going back to Romans 8:28. And we know, we have a confidence in Jesus Christ to know that he's a loving Savior. To know that he is a mighty Savior. And that everything he's doing, he loves us. And everything he's doing is working together. He sees the master plan. Don't you wish he'd? And sometimes he gives us glimpses into it. But more, has anybody ever got a full revelation from God on everything he's doing in your life? If you have, please let me sit down and you minister to us for a while, because it'll be a lot better. And I'm being facetious because I know nobody has, because God doesn't work that way. He calls us to trust him. And that's what casting our care upon him is all about. When we're daunted by things, we know he's not. When we're shaken by things, we know he's not. He saw it coming, and he's allowing it. And we can confidently cast our care upon him, knowing that he loves us, and he's going to take care of us. Cast your care upon him, for he careth for you. If you don't live for God in the manner in which I'm describing today, the cares of this life are going to overcome you. And you'll lose your faith altogether because your faith will have been built on sinking sand. You know, the Bible says, and Jesus gave the parable of the man who built his house on sand. And the rains came and the floods came. And the Bible says great was the fall of it. There was another man, the Bible says, Jesus in his parable says, built his house upon a rock. And the rains and the floods came. Notice, on both the just and the unjust, the rains and the floods came. We are subject to the perils of this life. Mike, I wish the Word of Faith teachers were right. I mean, wouldn't it be a wonderful life if what they preached was right, that we'd just stand and confess it away and just get our faith up to the level where we'd never have any trouble financially, we'd all be well in body and never face any kind of health malady, all of our families would be in perfection, and we'd all live to 70 years old. Now, that's the claims they make, and the trouble is they're non-biblical. It rains on everybody in this life. That rain in the parable that Jesus was speaking of was referring to the difficulties and trials that we're going to face in this life. But I love what Jesus said. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. That's our confidence there. Our confidence is not in our ability. Our confidence is not in our intellect. Our confidence is not in a man. Our confidence is in the man, Christ Jesus. who died on Calvary's cross for us and defeated the powers of darkness, rose from the grave, and is coming again. Church, now more than ever is the time to expectantly look to the eastern sky, for Jesus Christ is coming again. Hallelujah. And we must cast our care upon Him. This world's crazy right now. I mean, if you'll excuse some bad English right now, it's gone plumb crazy. I mean plumb crazy. And the United States more than likely is going to be in shambles financially and militarily within the next 10 years if Jesus tarries that long. That's where we're headed. We can't put our faith in our government, and you can't put a faith in a politician, whether they're a Republican or a Democrat. The events that have transpired over the last week has proved how messed up both of them are. My Lord, I'd sooner trust in, I don't know, my old terrorist Toyota than I would any of those guys. I mean, Republican or Democrat. They don't know what to do, and they're just trying to pound their chest to make themselves look good so they can get reelected to something. Church, our confidence is in the One who went to the cross of Calvary. Our confidence is in the One who rose from the dead. Our confidence is in the One who's coming again. We can cast our cares on Him. Hallelujah. John Boehner will let you down. Barack Obama will let you down. But Jesus Christ has proven Himself to be the Son of God. Hallelujah. And not one promise has ever fell to the ground. That's a confidence we can have. And we can have the confidence of knowing when we cast our troubles to His hand that we're not going to be able to confess them away. I love how Brother Swaggart said it one time, that there was that period in the church where everything was going bad in your life. All you had to do was just rebuke the devil. Rebuke the devil. It's like he said, sometimes he don't buke. but you know what? We must know this also. The only latitude Satan can have in my and your life as believers in Jesus Christ is what God allows. And if God's allowing it, God's going to turn it into blessing. You know, the biggest, I think Satan gets blamed for a whole lot more than he does. He likes it that way. He gets blamed for a whole lot more than he does. Most oftentimes, it's us that's a problem. Really, it's us. Our faith being in something foolish or wrong that does not allow the grace of God to flow into us. And again, we must be reminded, being humble is not necessarily walking around in a quiet, demure fashion. Being humble is speaking of where your faith is. Humbling ourselves, that's the hardest thing about getting a person to the Lord Jesus Christ, is that pride issue. Because they don't want to humble themselves to admit, I can't help myself. Man wants to believe, I can change my own life. I can dig my way out of this mess that I may have created. I can get out of it on my own through my smarts, through my physical ability, through whatever talent I may have. I'll get out of it. And it doesn't take man very long to start figuring out his ways aren't working. So what does he try to do? He tries to invent more ways. Pride, looking to himself as an answer. Rather than humbly throwing himself at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ and admitting I have no ability, I can't change my life, and I'm not going to get any help, Lord, unless you give it to me. Pride is a hard thing to die in mankind. And we, if we place our faith and trust in anything other than Jesus Christ and what He did for us on the cross, we'll be walking in pride. Because we're saying to God, we can do it without Jesus, Lord. And that's the sin, that's the great sin of the modern church world. We can do it without Jesus. We can live without the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't need this grace flowing daily. We can invent a program. We can create excitement. I'm so reminded of so much of the junk I see in the modern church of Nadab and Abihu, the two sons of Aaron in the Old Testament, who kindled their own fire that was to be offered up in the temple. And God called it strange fire. In other words, weird fire. Man, isn't that appropriate? There's too much weird fire in our churches today, ain't they, Mike? People wanting to come to be entertained. People wanting to come to see a show. My Lord, we need the power of God. and these troublesome times in which we're living, when we come into the house of God, we need an infusion of Holy Ghost power corporately that will help see us through the next week. We need a fresh reminder of who Jesus is, what he's done for us, and what he's yet going to do, and how close he is to returning. Hallelujah. It puts an excitement. It puts a renewed confidence in the believer to hear these things. I don't want to hear how big your church is. I don't want to hear what world leader you met with all week long, predicated upon your religious popularity. I want to know, have you been with Jesus Christ? Because he's the one who will help us all. Hallelujah. Cast your care upon him because he's caring for us. Now let's hurry to a close. Verse 8. Peter gives this command. Be sober. That's not speaking of, you shouldn't drink, but that's not speaking of refraining from alcoholic beverage. It's a direct reference to keeping away from spiritual intoxication. In other words, drinking some false doctrine that will impair your spiritual judgment and cause you to place your faith in something other than Christ and what he did at the cross, especially in view of his imminent return. Satan has an endless array of spiritually intoxicating cocktails that he's offering the church. And by and large, the church is guzzling it down like college students at a frat party. If you'll excuse my crude illustration. They're guzzling it right down because it gives instant pleasure. It seems to give instant gratification. But the end result is death. So when he's saying be sober, he's saying drink from the water of life. Don't become spiritually intoxicated on anything other than Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross, because that's living water. That's water that gives life. Be sober. Be vigilant. In the Greek, that literally means just be steadfast in the faith. Don't let go of that exclusive faith in Christ and what he did at the cross. Because all of Satan's efforts, in whatever way they may come, are designed to get the believer to move his faith exclusively off of Christ and the cross. Because Satan knows that is the only defense we have. Satan's not afraid of us. We can shout at him, we can yell at him, and he belly laughs at us. But when we are in Christ, hallelujah, and our faith is anchored in Jesus Christ, he can't tell the difference between us and him because we're in Christ. And Christ scares him to death. And that's the only thing that scares him. There's not a person walking this planet who's so close to God that Satan's afraid of him. He only fears the Christ that they're in. These TV preachers crack me up with all of their wild revelations. That's spiritual intoxicants. That junk we watched here on Wednesday night about the portal of glory that was to be opened over Cleveland, Tennessee. Well, can I announce to you it wasn't opened? Surprise, like Gomer Pyle used to say, and I'm dating myself on that one. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Not one thing happened. I tuned it in. I had to watch it. You know what it was? 3 hours of them jumping around and trying to work something up. Just like you know what it reminded me of scripturally? The prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. When they stood there for hours slashing themselves and crying out, man, it was a show to be sure. And not one thing happened. But then Elijah, the true prophet of God, after those 400 prophets of Baal had carried on for hours, he said, now the God I serve is going to answer by fire. And he built an altar and put a sacrifice on it, which spoke of Calvary and the cross. And the fire of God fell. Hallelujah. Praise God. Be vigilant. Remain steadfast in that faith. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9. Whom for resist steadfast in the faith. Did you catch that? Resist steadfast in the faith. You know, most believers, they assist the devil. They don't resist him. Why? Because they're not in the faith. What is the faith? It's a very specific kind of faith. Of course, faith exclusively in Christ and what he did at the cross. That's the only way to resist him. You can't fast him away. You can't scare him away. You can't Bible read him away. You can't attend church enough to make him go away. That's, if your faith is in those things to resist the enemy in your life, you're going down the wrong path. The only resistance that's provided to the enemy is resistance in the faith and the knowledge of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. Church, Satan is trying to destroy all this. The Bible said it there. We just read it. And I'm closing on this. He goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he knows he can devour anybody if he gets their faith off of Christ and what Christ did at the cross. If you're living for God, if you're attempting to live for God through any other way, hear this. You'll wind up walking in pride, and the cares of this life will overcome you. But when you walk with your faith in Jesus Christ humbly, knowing that I may not understand why everything is going on in my life, I don't understand every hurt, every difficulty, every indecisiveness, I know this, he does, and he loves me. And I can lay my head on my pillow at night knowing he loves me, he cares for me. So therefore, what I don't understand, I'm committing to his loving care, knowing that he's working it together for my good, even when I can't see it. And my God is not going to fail me. He's going to bring me out and bring me into a place of victory over what is daunting me right now if I just keep walking with him. Praise God. That's how you cast your care upon the Lord, what I've tried to expound the previous 30 minutes. And if it's attempted any other way, the cares will overcome us. They will. Because we're going to be walking in pride. And what did the Bible say about that? God resists those who are prideful. Man, that's a scary scripture to me as I was studying and preparing this week. That really scares me. To think that God would fight against someone. This is Almighty God we're talking about. And the scripture says it. He literally fights against those who are prideful. But oh, he gives grace to the humble. I want to be in that crowd. I want to walk in the humble crowd. I want him to eradicate any pride or confidence I have in myself or my ability, because I need his grace. You need his grace. Every human being needs his grace to flow into them, because with that grace, that power of the Holy Spirit, comes a confidence in him, not in us. And then when the cares of this life come, just like Frank Lloyd Wright's building, when the shaking comes, we'll stand. That's not to say we won't go through a shaking. And we may be looking all around us and seeing all kinds of devastation. But our building will stand because it's built upon the solid rock, Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Cast your care on him this morning. As we close, cast your care on him. Lay it at his feet with a faith that says, my Lord and Savior, I don't understand it all. And I don't like the hurt that I'm going through right now. I don't like the difficulty I'm going through right now. And I don't understand it all. But I know this. You're a good God. You're a gracious God. And I speak by faith right now, according to your word, that everything you're doing in my life, it's all good. It's all good. Man, that's real faith. That's real faith there. That's a faith that'll carry you through anything, because it's a faith that's predicated not upon us and human ability, but a faith that's predicated upon Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, today we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, as I have told your precious people over the past weeks, I've never in my life been more convinced of your soon return. And Lord, at the same time, as the scripture we read this morning says, Satan is going about as a roaring lion. He's seeking whom he may devour. He cannot devour someone who has their faith in you, Lord Jesus, and what you did at the cross. However, he is free to devour at will anybody who has their faith in something else. Lord, as this shaking in the world is going on, I believe with all of my heart you're preparing us, your church, your children, for your return. And Lord, I pray that we'll examine ourselves this morning on where our faith is. Because, Lord, I don't want to see myself nor anyone you would commit to my under-shepherdship. I would not want to see the cares of this life overcome them because they were misinformed and weren't maybe even reminded that our faith must be exclusively in Christ and what you did at the cross. For, Lord, I know that'll carry us through any circumstance. That we can cast that care upon you knowing, Lord Jesus, and having a confidence that you will cause us to stand because you never fail. Lord, this morning, to each and every one who's going through an indecisive time in their life, to each and every one who's going through a difficulty, a trial this morning, and they've been crying out to you for help, Lord, I pray that you'll give them a joy and peace today as they learn to cast that care upon you. In other words, committing it to the one who will do right by them assuredly. Lord, give us a renewed confidence today in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit would go deep in our lives today and root out any pride that we may have in our own abilities. And that, Lord, we would walk out of here lighthearted and joyous and renewed in the Lord with the knowledge that our Lord and Savior will care for us. Hallelujah. That you will provide ultimately whatever we need. Though for a season, if need be, we go through manifold temptations and tests. Ultimately, Lord Jesus, we have the confidence of knowing victory is ours. Even when we're not seeing it manifested, victory is ours because it's your victory, Lord Jesus. Our faith is in you and in your victory. Let us cast all of our care upon you today, having confidence. Give us renewed confidence today, Lord Jesus Christ, to know you're going to care for us and that everything going on in our lives, you are orchestrating, you are allowing, and you will ultimately bring us victory over it. Manifest victory. Oh God, we praise you today. Would everyone please stand? I'm going to ask you if you would this morning, would you come and present yourselves at the altar of the Lord? Holy Spirit, sensitize us to what you want to do just now. Have your blessed way, I pray in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name today. Praise your holy name today. Jesus, saturate this altar with the confidence of the victorious Christ. Not only this altar, but our individual hearts and souls and spirits. Lord, I feel you moving mightily right now. I sense a deep move of the Holy Ghost going on in lives right now. Lord, let us cast our care upon you. Let us cast our care upon you today. Lord, knowing that you're going to do right by us. Knowing, Lord, that you care for us. And that you're going to give us victory. And that, Lord, that victory, we can reach out and claim it today by faith in you. It's already there. It's already there. And with this whole world being shaken, give us a renewed confidence that we stand firm upon the rock Christ Jesus that this world and its events can never shake. Lord God, I praise you today. I give you glory today, Lord Jesus, for what you're doing. Cast your care upon him today. I feel that confidence permeating this altar. I feel that renewed confidence that we've asked him to give us today. That some of you have needed all week long. You've been facing difficulty. Hallelujah. Cast it on him right now with the confidence that he's going to see you through. He's going to take care of you. Praise God. And nothing that's gone on in your life has caught him unaware. Praise God. Nothing has caught him unaware. He knew it before it came. Hallelujah. And he already sees the victorious outcome that he's going to give you. Praise God. I feel that this morning. Lord, I thank you for this fresh wave of faith and confidence that's going through our souls and our spirits today. Hallelujah to your precious name. Hallelujah to your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, would you just lift your hands and give him praise today? Lord Jesus, we confidently look unto you, our Redeemer, our healer, our Savior, our coming King. We honor and we praise you today. And we thank you, Lord, that we have the confidence of knowing you never fail. You've never been defeated. Hence, we will never fail and we will not be defeated if our faith rests exclusively in you. We cast our care upon you today, Lord, knowing you will care for us. Praise your holy name today, Lord. I thank you for the powerful anointing that I'm feeling right now, Lord Jesus. Glory and honor to the name and person of Jesus Christ, who's infusing us this morning with spiritual power, grace, grace. He's given grace right now. Hallelujah. He's given grace right now. Drink deep, church. Drink from the living water. Hallelujah. Drink from the living water that imparts the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord God. Glory to your name. Lord, we know that no matter what's coming, we may have fears about the future. We may have doubts about the future. But Lord, we know you hold our future. And our future is secure in you, Lord Jesus. Our future is certain in you, Lord Jesus, that you will exalt us in due season. Praise God if we walk humbly before you. And Lord, we humbly do that today. We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Lord, knowing that that mighty hand framed the worlds and that, Lord, we can rest in you. We can have peace and joy in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we just thank you for what you've done in our hearts and lives today as you're further preparing us for your return. We honor you today, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. Just worship him a moment, church, and thank him. Thank him. You need to thank him. I feel you need to show the Holy Spirit is saying, show Jesus Christ gratitude for who he is, what he is doing, and what he's yet going to do, and what he has done. Hallelujah. We honor you, Lord Jesus. We give praise and glory to your holy name today. Oh, Lord, just keep praising him, church. I don't feel the Holy Spirit's done yet. Drink deep from the living water that he's given. He's given grace today. Drink spiritually, drink from it. Let it renew, revive, and refresh, as only the living water of the Holy Spirit and the grace of Jesus Christ can do. Lord, we thank you that nothing in the future is going to daunt us. Nothing in the future is ultimately going to cause us fear because our faith is in you. We know you hold our future. We have the confidence to know our faith is built upon Jesus Christ and him crucified. Let us keep it there, Lord. I pray that as Satan tries and will yet try to do to shift our faith, that, Lord, this service today will be a reminder. Your word today, Lord, will be a reminder to us that you resist the proud, but you give grace to the humble. And the humble are those who have their faith in you, Jesus Christ, and what you did on the cross. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Let's give him a hand of praise today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, our coming King, today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, it's been so good to be with you in God's house today. Remember this Wednesday night, we're going to pick up service again, going back to our regular schedule on Wednesday nights, and come out. You'll be blessed. We're just going to be studying the Word of God, and it'll be a blessing to you. So come out and be with us. Chris, would you come dismiss us in prayer this morning? God bless you. Be safe out there. Looks like we didn't get all the snow they said we were going to, which is a good thing. Me and Chris were worried. We always worry on Saturday night, don't we, Chris, when there's reports of snow. We're like, oh, gee, what are we going to get hit with? But praise God we made it through. God bless you. Lord willing, we'll see you on Wednesday night.